Just in time for Reformation Day, Concordia Publishing House has a new graphic novel titled Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. This Luther biography is written and illustrated in a fun, comfortable format. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase Luther, Echoes of the Hammer by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. This new Reformation resource costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's one of the big stories in the Old Testament. It's actually the beginning of one of the big stories in the Old Testament. It begins with a birth, ordinary little Hebrew child, but at a time when little Hebrew boys were not being permitted to live long past birth. And Moses is miraculously preserved. He is, well, in time, a prince in Egypt, not a king, but a prince in Egypt, and then an outcast and an exile. And eventually, he is called by God to lead the people of Israel out of their long slavery in Egypt. But it all begins with that birth where he is saved out of water. Where is Jesus in all of that? Well, we're going to find that out in the next half hour of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, the 10th of October. Joining us to do so, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Hello, Todd. It's great to be back.
It really begins with Moses' mother, actually, being the primary character at the outset of this. How is her putting a baby in a basket out into the Nile River, of all things? Is that an act of faith on her part?
Well, absolutely. It's an act of faith. And if we wonder, we have scripture to confirm that for us, because the writer to the letter of Hebrews in chapter 11 says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict." Moses' mother was a Hebrew woman, and she had faith in the one true God. And despite what was going on, and even prior to the giving of the law to Moses, you know, we didn't have those tablets yet, we know that the law is written on men's hearts, written on her heart, to know that this command from a human ruler could not be obeyed because it went against God's will and God's upholding of life. And so she did what a mother would do, what a faithful mother would do, and protect her son and make sure that he is not slain by this angry, jealous human ruler, Pharaoh, who has become afraid of the rapidly multiplying Israelites in his country. And so she gives up her son, puts him in a basket, sends him down the river, and trusts God to care for him. And then we have this wonderful story of how God worked through all of these events and people in this time and place, and how that connects to Christ on the cross for us, how it connects to our baptisms. So much to talk about this week in Sunday school.
It is a time of persecution for the people of Israel. They're not only slaves, but they are now under the strict edict of population control from the Pharaoh that you just mentioned. Tell us the story of how they got into this particular predicament and how it is at this particular turning point God is already putting into place the plan to deliver them.
That's right. Well, you know, we finished our series with Joseph and with Joseph's death, and Joseph, in the last chapter of Genesis, telling his family that he's about to die, but telling them that God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph dies after 110 years, 70 years after being reunited with his family. And with the word of God to his family, you will be delivered from this. And here's this 400 years of captivity and servitude that the people of God have endured. They're in Egypt. The first chapter of Exodus picks up and lets us know that Joseph had died. His brothers and all that generation But the people of Israel are fruitful, they're increasing, and a new king over Egypt who does not know Joseph. And this king doesn't have any love for the Israelites, doesn't have any concern for them. That's old news. And all he can see is that they are growing. The families are growing, more babies are being born, and he's fearful. At the time of the Exodus, it's estimated that it was probably close to 2 million Israelites in the land of Egypt, and this was just, you know, not a whole lot of time before that. So lots of Israelites, lots of fear by this new ruler, and so he presses down on them to make them work harder as slaves, thinking that that will hold them in line, and they continue, you know, to have more children. It says they multiplied even more rapidly, and so his next act of control is to kill all the Hebrew baby boys and put the baby girls into servitude, and he tells the midwives as babies are born, and the midwives are Hebrews because they're servants. He tells them, you know, kill these baby boys, and he's going to try to control the growth of this people in his land by murder. And so that's where we find our story. You have the mother of Moses, who is full well knowing that her child is in jeopardy, and she steps into, in faith, as we said, to protect him, putting him down the river. And he ends up in the hands of people in the court of Pharaoh, and in fact, with his mother able to protect him, to care for him as a slave of that court, as a servant of that court. So she still has care over him, but he now is in great safety, being raised in the very house of Pharaoh.
Why is it that particular part important for the story, that Moses is raised essentially as a son of Pharaoh's daughter?
Well, it gives Moses, it gives him an incredible, really an education as he grows up in that house. He learns about Pharaoh, he learns how he operates, he gets the finest education that you could get probably in the world at that time through the Egyptian schooling, and learns about leadership and all of these things, being shaped and formed so that when it is time for God to call him as the leader of the Israelites and call them together out, Moses is ready, he's prepared, and he is able to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. And this is all part of God's working. And it's also tied to Scripture. Out of Egypt have I called my son, as a reference to Christ. There's a connection here, and we can see Moses really as a type of Christ, a foreshadow, because he saves the Israelites. It's a temporary saving until the final saving comes with the Son of God, another one born to a simple Hebrew woman who would save all humanity from sin and death for once and for all. So, amazing connections here.
The fact that he is put into the river, it's almost as though the writer here is telling us that his mom, while protecting him, is also technically kind of keeping the king's edict. He's put into the river, albeit in a basket of bulrushes, we're told. Is there any significance there with a few minutes before our break?
Well, it's a wonderful thing. If you look at the Hebrew, only two times is the word that's used there for basket used in all the Old Testament. The other place is in reference to the ark that Noah and his family were saved in. It's the same word. So here, basket, there, ark. It's it is the container that carries them to safety through the water. So we have a connection to holy baptism, that through water and God's command, people are saved and saved from death. And we also have this wonderful imagery that the church has come to use, seeing the church as another ark, a boat, a basket that carries God's people to safety through the waters of holy baptism, the preaching of God's word, and the Lord's Supper that we receive in our mouth. These are all tied together and by intent, by God's intent.
He is given a pretty common Egyptian name by Pharaoh's daughter, Moses, but yes. There's something in there that we should probably notice. What is it with about a minute?
Well, the name Moses means to come out of water. The text says that. God does this all over the place, using word plays with biblical names. You remember Jacob's name meant deceiver, and then God changes it to Israel, which means he wrestles with God. Here you have Pharaoh's daughter giving him what is a very obvious name to her. How did she get this little cute baby boy? He came to her out of the water. He was drawn out of that. And then we would see that later God would draw his people out of Egypt by leading them with Moses through the Red Sea. Christ becomes the second Moses, and he draws his people out of the exile of sin and death. So this idea of his name being about drawing people out of death and life, out of death to life, all ties in with that name, Moses, out of water.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're talking about the birth of Moses on this Monday afternoon. It's the 10th of October. In about 10 minutes, hour two of the program, we're going to spend the entire second hour talking about another Old Testament figure remembered yesterday by the church. Dr. David Adams will be our guest. We'll talk about Abraham. He is not only the father of this great nation that we're watching being formed here in the Moses story, he is the father, as St. Paul says, the father of faith to all who believe. We share in Abraham's faith, as did Moses. More on Moses and his birth with Deaconess Pam Nielsen after this. Just in time for Reformation Day, Concordia Publishing House has a new graphic novel titled Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. This Luther biography is written and illustrated in a fun, comfortable format. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase Luther, Echoes of the Hammer by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. This new Reformation resource costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacobi Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Thanks to Messiah Lutheran Church in Danville, California. Peter Ledig is the pastor there. They're part of the Issues Etc. 300. Now, if you listen to Issues Etc., you will hear between the breaks often pastor of a congregation someplace in the country, talking about his congregation service times and all the information that people in that area need to know. That is because that congregation is part of the Issues Etc. 300. One of the benefits of your congregation being part of the 300 is that they can have a spot recorded by your pastor or someone else right here on Issues Etc. Tell the listeners to Issues Etc. all about your congregation wherever you are. You can consider the possibility and maybe make the pitch to your congregation during this time of budget planning in many congregations to become part of the Issues Etc. 300. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. There's a flyer there that you can download and print off, take to your congregation, ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300, our congregation sponsorship program. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about the birth of Moses. Let's make the connections here. You've already made a pretty strong connection with baptism, and there's no doubt about that. This is a baptismal story from beginning to end, and it doesn't really have its final bookmark until we get to the crossing of the Red Sea, which is the ultimate expression of this. There's just water all over the place in the Moses story. Let's make the connection then to the deliverance from slavery and the greater deliverance that Christ will effect for us, and really how he fits into this story of Moses' birth.
Oh, absolutely, and that is a very obvious. You can see it so clearly. We've got Pharaoh, you know, ordering the Hebrew midwives to kill the baby boys. He's a fearful ruler. Contrast that to the ruler at the time of the birth of Jesus. And his fear when the wise men come to tell him that they followed the star and they're looking for the new king, and he immediately, in his fear of losing what he has, his power, orders that the young babies, baby boys, be killed. And it's almost the same story, but many, many years later, and not Moses, but the new Moses, the greater Moses, Jesus, the Son of God, who has become flesh and blood, born of Mary, to lead us out of the bondage of sin and death. The Israelites were bound as slaves in Egypt. Without the salvation of Christ, every man, woman, and child in all time, in all places, would be bound to sin and ultimately to eternity, separated from God, eternal death. And so Jesus is that greater Moses who leads us out. And if you can see the parallels between the two stories, if you look at Matthew 2, verses 13 to 15, these events of Moses' life really prepare us for the life of Jesus. King Herod, so fearful. And then we have the prophecy in Hosea 11:1, who says, "This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I have called my son." So the prophecy was about Christ. It's a connection all the way back to Moses. Moses is part of the family tree, of the human family tree of Christ Jesus, and points us to eternal salvation through this temporary salvation that he would bring about as the leader of the Israelites. Beautiful connections and story here. All true.
We saw this in the Joseph story, yes, that God is in the business of preserving life. And Joseph even says this at the end of this of his part of the story, where he says, "This was all God's intent to preserve these lives." And here in the Moses story, we have the mother and the sister preserving life and God behind all of that. What does a story like this say to us loud and clear today, especially in our culture that does not value life any longer?
Oh, absolutely. This is a great statement about life issues. You have these Hebrew midwives fearing God rather than men. They obey God and his law rather than Pharaoh. And we can put God's gift of life above the edicts of the the government around us and the culture around us, because we can hold up what God says about life and to preserve life. The fifth commandment, do not kill, but the other part of that is that we preserve and protect our neighbor and prevent his being killed. And so you can see that this plays out in how we protect children in the womb, children who are being aborted. We protect children who are born with infirmities and questions about them and their care. We can see a direct connection to our call to care for orphans and children in need and in peril, much less any human life, because of God's command and our call really to be faithful to that over and above what society and even the government may tell us is okay to do or even push us to do. So a lot of life lessons in this, and again, tied to the faith of these Hebrew women who really put their own lives and their own well-being at risk by doing what they did in protecting this baby in the basket in the river.
I like the connection that you make from the Small Catechism, and it's regarding the seventh petition to the Lord's Prayer, where Luther says, and the petition is, deliver us from evil. We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions, reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. What's the connection there to the Moses story with about a minute?
Well, he was very much rescued from every evil. He would have died had he not been protected, had God not worked through the faith of these women who and ordered these events. And that's the prayer for us. And that's that teaching that Luther gives us in the seventh petition. We can pray that prayer knowing who we pray it to, and knowing that he has already, in his Son, who died on the cross for us, he has already rescued us from the greatest evil of body and soul, from sin, death, and the devil, by his death and suffering on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. He will come again to raise us with new bodies and bring us to a new heaven and a new earth. For all eternity we will live. And that's what is already done for the children of God. It's a done deal. He's made good on this, rescuing us from our greatest evil. And he protects us in this life with his holy angels and guards and watches over us.
Pam, finally then, time is short, but how can we tie in the theme, this big theme of witness, mercy, life together, that is now your occupation, with this week's Sunday school lesson in particular?
Oh, absolutely. And I've sent you a link. I'm sure you'll put it up on your webpage. Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is actively involved in a great tie-in effort of human care and mercy for children, for orphans in Kenya. The project is called 1001 Orphans. And individuals, a Sunday school class, a family, a church can adopt an orphan. They'll get a picture. They'll get information about this child. $400 a year provides a child with care. And that care is tied to the people of God and to the church. So it isn't just clothing, food, and shelter. But he's placed in the care of a family in the Lutheran Church of Kenya. His schooling is paid for. You have to pay for school in Kenya, so if you're poor, you don't go to school. This provides for that, provides for his health and well-being, and his spiritual nurture in the arms of the people of God, in the church in that place, in congregations throughout Kenya. It's an amazing program. There's lots of information, video, pictures, and it's something that children in our Sunday schools, can support with their offerings, but certainly with their prayers and just understanding what a blessing they have to be able to go to school. It's free to have houses and clothing and all the things of life, and how God can use his church, his people and does use them to provide for those in need. And so the project is 1001 Orphans. Teachers, take a look, click on the link, talk about this with your children, pray for these orphans, that they are all adopted into homes, into godly homes that will care for them in body and soul.
We'll post a link to LCMS World Relief and Human Care's 1001 Orphans Project at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
We always base our conversations with Pam on CPH's Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. You see it again, how it is that Christ comes forward, not because we're trying to shoehorn him back into this Old Testament story, but because he's already there. That's the great insight of growing in Christ, the kind of insight that can be brought to children of all ages through this Sunday school curriculum. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call and order a free sample of Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we're going to spend an entire hour with Dr. David Adams talking about Father Abraham, our father in the faith, a faith in Jesus Christ, by the way. We'll be right back. More Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.